I thought about doing this on my own a while back. I think you mentioned it on the show. I'm very excited to announce that me and Brett Davis will be taking a romp through the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
And Brett is going to guide me on this galactic tour.
And I'm being already told that, Brett Davis is more of a producer on this show. This is your journey. I'm being told this is Mike's journey. But
yeah,
you have
a
Sherpa.
He's,
your Sherpa. Make Mike Marvel.
And welcome to Make Mike Marvel. I'm Brett. This is Mike. We're going through the whole MCU. We're not leaving any stone unturned. And that's proof positive today. We're talking about Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah, I was assigned one episode. Mm-hmm. And it was so sort of vague and confusing and didn't make much sense to me that I thought I'd continue on to get maybe a little more sense of what's going on, because I was completely confused after the first episode. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's the same as it was for all the others. One will live and one will die.
The universe keeps pushing us together.
The universe keeps pulling us apart.
I wonder, do some of these shows just rely on the audience being more familiar with the comics, that like they're sort of catered to the nerds who, you know, they're not really trying to draw in somebody unfamiliar with the comic? Because that's the way I felt.
In the case of this show, I think they're probably not aiming for just comic fans.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of the same thing as last week. Runaways was, you know, targeted as a show for young adults.
Yeah.
And this one was too. I don't think beyond the Marvel logo, anybody was like going into it like, man, I love Cloak and Dagger. These two originally popped up. The Amazing Spider-Man in 1992. Sorry. Some of my critics might correct me. The Spectacular Spider-Man.
Okay.
Separate title.
Okay.
The creator, Bill Mantlo, was, and this is his words, he was inspired by a visit to Ellis Island and came up with a concept on the spot.
Really? Okay.
Have you been to Ellis Island?
Believe it or not, I've never been to the Statue of Liberty.
Okay.
That's shocking, considering I must have passed it probably hundreds, thousands of times.
Yeah.
I never got off my ass to go visit the Statue of Liberty, as I never got off my ass to go to Ellis Island.
I've been to Ellis Island. I didn't go in the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not leave with any feelings of creating a teenage superhero duo. One who draws the powers of fear and one who draws the powers of hope.
Okay, see, I didn't even pick up on that yet. You know, all I could figure out is that, I did learn a little trivia that I found out that the characters were actually reversed in the comic. That
the elements of the characters were, yeah.
That Tyrone was the thief and Tandy was the, I guess, dilettante, rich kid. But they switched it up in this show. I thought I could get a little more grasp of the story from watching another episode, and that didn't happen.
Did you see the comic book characters' powers? Well, their origin.
How did they get the powers?
In the comics, they use synthetic heroin.
Really?
Yeah.
Together or
probably separately. I don't know.
Okay.
I didn't read these comics, but
I'm
grateful that they changed that.
That's how they got their powers. Wow. All right.
In the comics.
In the comics. Okay. So let's start at the beginning of the episode. I guess young Tandy is at a ballet class.
And, yeah.
After class, her mother fails to show up on time. So she ends up calling her father. We later found out the mother has a drug habit, and she's, I guess she doesn't always follow through. And young Tyrone runs into his older brother, Billy, who's being pressured to steal a radio from a car. And he doesn't really want to have anything to do with it. But young Tyrone waits it out. And then one of the co-conspirators drops the hanger that they were going to use to rob this radio. And young Tyrone thinks, well, I'm going to go get that radio. That didn't make much sense to me, since his brother was just saying, you know, he didn't want to be a part of it. So that was a little confusing. But young Tyrone...
I've never replaced the car stereo. Do they just pop out like that? Let me see that in movies.
No, I think they do. So some of them, I mean, I had a friend who had a portable one that he would actually take out of the car because it was such, he thought it was so valuable that he would take it out of his car every night, you know?
Like MacGruber.
Young Tandy's father picks her up. They're crossing a bridge. There's some sort of trouble at the oil rig where he works. And he's on the phone. He ends up getting into a car crash. The car goes into Lake Bourne. Is that the name of it? Yeah.
You really did your research. You're taking the lead on it. Very impressed.
The car goes underwater. Her father's knocked out. She's in the back, still conscious in an air bubble. Meanwhile, young Tyrone get into a chase. The cops see them. They chase them. And I guess we're near Lake Bourne again. And the cop ends up shooting Billy, the older brother of Tyrone. He goes into the lake, and then young Tyrone jumps in after him to rescue him. So now we've got our two lead characters underwater, submerged.
And as like 8-year-olds.
As 8-year-olds. And yeah, the coincidence is quite amazing. A hand, sort of a mysterious hand, just sort of reaches out and rescues both young Tandy and young Tyrone. They end up on the shore.
Well, I think they rescue one another.
Okay. I think there's lots of room for interpretation here.
Yeah, they left it very vague. A note about this oil company. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the name Roxxon?
Okay, no, it didn't ring a bell.
Okay, Roxxon is all over the MCU.
Okay.
It's debuted in the Iron Man movie. It pops up in every Iron Man movie.
Thomas here is an accountant for the Roxxon Oil Corporation.
Matt and Foggy work on a Roxxon case on Daredevil.
Armed?
Doubt it. Works for Roxxon.
It's mentioned in Runaways. It's all over Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay.
Gas station Agent Coulson gets into that fight in is a Roxxon gas station. And lest I forget,
wow,
the most memorable Roxxon employee in the MCU, Miles Vanner on Agent Carter, played by James Urbaniak.
Right, okay. Oh, wow, okay.
Worked for Roxxon Energy.
All right, okay.
Or oil or whatever it was called.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, somebody's got it out for Exxon in the... I guess they wanted to go after Exxon. Yeah, I didn't make those connections. I should have. But then the story jumps ahead.
Maybe you'll pay attention closer next time.
Yeah, I should remember these oil company references. but so then the story jumps ahead years later. I guess teenagers. Young Tyrone's in high school. Looks like a Catholic high school. He's playing basketball, and he loses his temper when the opposing player gets a little too rough. Meanwhile, the older Tandy, we see she's got a little, I guess she's got a little partnership with a guy named Liam. And the way their racket works is that Tandy goes to nightclubs, looks for young, rich guys, lures them back to their apartments, or in this case, a house. And then she drugs them.
Playlists. She wants to hear their dope.
Oh, playlists. Right. Yeah. Yeah. The playlist. She wanted to hear his playlist. I've never used that come online, but I guess young people do use that one.
There's like a lot of how do you do fellow kids in this show. Uh-huh. At one point they say resting basic face.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe we should both leave.
Now hold on. I just dropped $6 on bottle service.
I'm going to make double that tonight.
I'm doing what?
My side business.
What is that?
Fine rich kids. Slip a little something into their drinks. And jack them of their rich kid stuff.
But, so she drugs this young rich guy. Liam shows up. They robbed a joint. He drops her off at, I guess he thinks it's her apartment, but apparently she sleeps in an abandoned church.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess there's very some... what?
Very poetic.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, you've seen both seasons of this?
I have.
Holy shit. You amaze me, man.
It seems like the writers, when they went in to write this show, like, just were like, okay, New Orleans. And they started making, like, a word web. And anything that came up in New Orleans, graveyards, voodoo, they all jazz. They're all find their way into the show.
You know, I've actually been to New Orleans a few times for Jazz Fest, and I had no idea, you know, I mean, they said it a couple times, but in, you know, just this episode, actually both episodes, I can't say I felt like I knew I was in New Orleans, you know, I mean,
they'll tell you in the future episode.
Well, yeah, no, they tell you, they drop it a couple times in the first two episodes, but
Dad's like, literally in a marching band.
All right. Well, yeah, I didn't get to that.
There's a Santeria doctor.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I thought his, well, I, you know, I'm not going to speculate on his Catholic school, but it seemed very white to me for for New Orleans Catholic school. I'm like, all right, you know, and he even has
Catholic prep school.
Okay, all right. Well, yeah, I guess so. I guess the money can be a factor, but at no time did I feel like, oh, I'm in New Orleans for this show. Cool, you know, it just felt like, all right, this could have been shot anywhere. But so anyway, so Tyrone comes back from his parents are upset at him for losing his cool during a basketball game. And then, you know, the weird stuff happens with getting in under a cloak. And then he's going back and forth in time. He's investigating his brother's murder.
It's, you were doing like, good. Now you really just set up about 40 minutes of this episode in a single
But I don't know what's going on, you know. I mean, you know, my problem with all of this stuff is when they go beyond the laws of physics, but in this show they're going beyond the laws of time, space. So it's just, you know, when a show where anything can happen, I just feel like, you know, I have no interest in that show because it's just all over the place, you know?
What's your name?
Tandy. And his name was...
Yeah, Tyrone.
We'll talk about how they meet at the party in the woods, which is apparently going to be another sting operation for Tandy. And she ends up stealing Tyrone's wallet. She's a pickpocket as well. And he figures it out. He starts chasing her. They end up in a cemetery, right?
Yes.
And
what did you do to me?
What did I do? What was that?
How should I know?
Because your hands are doing the exact same thing. But
you know, first it's just a glowing hand. And then I guess.
And you hate them, famously.
Yeah, I hate the glowing hand because it just seems so simple, you know. It's like, really, the glowing hand? You know, give me a glowing foot once in a while, you know.
I mean, I have this note. I have Mike hates glowing hands in my notes.
Wait, are you that kid? From the beach?
No, stop running. Who are you?
And then they, I guess she the power comes on her and they sort of blast off when they get near each other or something.
Yeah. It activates whatever's lying dormant within them.
Right.
Hello? Crazy white girl?
Now I read, you know, I did do a little research and I guess these are the only superheroes whose powers depend on their getting together. It's kind of, they need to be together to get the juices going.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Mothra situation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with Cloak. He can manipulate Dark Force energy and access the dimension from which it originates. What is Dark Force energy, you ask? It's basically dark matter, either in gas, liquid, or solid form. The downside to his power is that Cloak feels a constant hunger for light, which must be fed by a semi-mystical light energy akin to the light of a soul. Well, Dagger is one of the only possible sources of this energy, so she has to regularly feed Cloak with her light bolts. Speaking of daggers, she has the ability to create psionic light daggers that she can throw wherever she wills them. Her daggers also drain living beings of their life force when struck.
Tyrone is, like I said, he's doing this investigation of his brother's death, which, you know, I mean, it's implied that corruption covered it up, but I mean, I don't know that you can cover up a body that's been shot. So that was a bit of a stretch, I thought. But
I mean, there are stretches that
I know it's ridiculous that I'm trying to insert some reality into these things, but. This is the difficulty I have mentally just going along with some of the things. So he confronts the killer, I guess. And of course, the killer has the added characteristic of having a huge scar on his face.
Yeah.
To make him more ghastly.
The cloak draws Tyrone to him.
Yeah.
Which is maybe what he fears the most, mm-hmm. is the subtext I'm trying to get.
Okay, all right. Your interpretation is better than mine. I'm fumbling in the dark, under the cloak even.
I appreciated that detail.
Uh-huh, okay.
I gotta say, as much as I'm not a huge Tyrone fan, I really, Liam is maybe the most forgettable character in the entire MCU.
Yeah, he's pretty forgettable.
Any white dude you've ever seen.
And I couldn't remember his name. I had to go back to the episode to get it.
I'll say they have the most unpleasant sex scene in the entire MCU.
In
a car, in like a parking lot.
Yeah, grunting. And not particularly enjoyable for either, although Liam claims to have said, oh God, a number of times. What's that?
Yeah, it's dutiful. Like,
yeah, dutiful. Yeah, that's a good word.
With that horrible Utah idea.
Someone was busting my chops asking for my zodiac sign.
Vertigo. You said vertigo.
It made you smile.
Yeah, it very much did.
Yeah, but maybe that's just sort of a post heist thing that's sort of grown stale over the years.
Maybe.
It's like a post heist celebration that's grown stale. They after every crime is committed.
She's also on a cocktail of every pill she can snort.
Yeah, she's snorting. Her mother's, you know, she's at the mother's out of control, and yet she keeps the stash at the mother's house.
Didn't I have quite... another detail for you. At one point, she just pours herself a cup of whiskey, which I liked.
Yeah.
And this whiskey is another thing that pops up. It's O'Haron's whiskey.
O'Haron's
it's in Agent Carter. It's in Daredevil, and it's in Punisher.
Oh, okay, so it's just a made-up whiskey. It's not a real whiskey.
No.
Oh, okay. Good catch. Good catch. But yeah.
Trivia page told me that.
So yeah, I don't really have much more else to say about this show. It was slightly annoying again in its pace. Didn't care too much for the characters. Didn't know what the hell their superpowers were exactly. Okay. And so
Tyrone, I think when he gets afraid. This show has some of the most confusing things. There's this character in season two. His name is Despair.
D-apostrophe
S-P-A-Y-R-E.
Okay.
He is a haunted jazz man.
What did you think you were going to do there?
Tyrone, get out.
I can't.
Who plays
now you're actually making his sound more interesting to me.
He's like plays records of their life, and they like go to a cosmic record store. It's uh-huh. So bad.
This is what it feels like.
Okay.
I might
have to check that character out though. That sounds actually interesting to me.
Yeah.
He's not a superhero though. He's
no.
Okay.
He is a super villain.
Super villain.
Okay. And the worst one.
Uh huh.
Did you marvel?
I did not. In fact, I was annoyed. I think this may have been the most annoying thing I've watched so far.
More than Inhumans?
No, Inhumans was pretty bad too, but this one just confused me thoroughly. And annoyance was the way I felt as a result.
Yeah, I'll say this show maybe has the worst music in the MCU.
Yeah, the music.
Inhumans has those some like lady softly singing Paint It Black, but it's certainly worse than the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
just, bad, like pop, like
sad
bad,
sack like, pop.
It's kind of pop music you'd find on like a license-free music website.
I didn't look up who was singing, and it can't. Yeah, and the music could be overbearing at times. I mean. Particularly in the opening scenes when they're underwater, I'm like, oh boy, it was really heavy-handed.
I'm there in the water, still looking for you. I'm there in the water, can't you see? Can't you see?
Did they use a big name people? I don't know if that person
without research, I'm gonna say none of these are popular artists.
Uh-huh.
Probably the side projects of all of these teen actors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you did not marvel. Did you like it more or less than Runaways?
Probably less. Since, you know, I mean, Runaways, at least you had a few more characters, you know, you're getting to know a few characters, whereas we're stuck with these two characters in this show. And to me, they weren't that interesting.
Now, would you be excited to know that Cloak and Dagger pop up in season 3 of Runaways?
No, I would not. I'm not going to check that out.
Hey everyone, we know it's been a long time since you've heard from us.
We've been working extremely hard on season 3 of Marvel's Runaways, which comes out December 13th on Hulu.
This season, we're going to be facing some of our toughest challenges ever.
And we need some help.
That's right.
I'm just going to check out the Jazz Despair guy.
Radioactive heroin?
I stopped learning it.
Yeah.
See what that's despair. All about. Despair.
Well, say something nice about this one.
Olivia Holt. I guess she won some sort of teen award or something.
Good.
Good for her. I don't know what her career has been like since this show. She seems like she could probably get a lot of work in different things.
I just Googled her. It says, this is nice. Olivia Holt is currently in a relationship with musician Tony Ferrari, and they're seriously goals.
They're seriously what?
I thought she did a good job. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a Disney Channel actor.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she was the only character aside from, I thought the mom was a very good actor too.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, wow, mom, you like bringing a little more to this role than you need to.
Mm-hmm. For being a one note character. Yeah.
Yeah. Gloria Rubin is the mom's name. She has been in every Jesse Stone movie. Jesse Stone being Tom Selleck's late era,
wow,
police character.
Okay.
And she was in Time Cop too. And she was on ER.
All right, not bad.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about the show?
No. I think I've said it all.
Well, next week, we are going from the deeply dark to the deeply light, and we are talking about I Am Groot.
I am Groot.
This is setting up the Guardians sequel, and we get to just learn a little bit about Groot. Are you excited? I know you watched it already.
Yeah,
be excited to talk.
I was excited by the amount of time I had to devote to it. Let's put it that way.
Next week we have a big announcement, so stay tuned for that. But otherwise, Mike, thank you for watching Cloak and Dagger. And we are done with these TV shows.
Oh, thank God. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to everybody who's been hanging in with us, because I know it could be grueling at times. But I hope we're making it a little bit life harder for you.
All right. On that note, thank you, everybody. Thank you for supporting the show, the Patreon. Check out the Best Show 24-Hour Marathon coming up. It's making all of us very tired already, so enjoy. Take care, everybody.
Come on.